Well, good morning. On behalf, on behalf of the American Chemical Society, I'd like to thank the committee today for the opportunity to speak to you about priority issues that we suggest the committee review on its work on the impact of copyright policy on innovation. A brief word about the ACS. We are a congressionally chartered 501c3 not-for-profit organization and the world's largest scientific society with over 161,000 members. Our members and staff attempt to advance knowledge and research through scholarly publishing, scientific conferences, information resources for education and business, and professional development efforts. I'm from the Publications Division. We publish over 34,000 research papers annually on the web and in print in 38 journals. We also provide over 450,000 research articles through our legacy archives that date back to the founding of our society in 1879. We share the interests of the National Academies in advancing innovation, and as you may know, are one of the sponsors of this project. We believe that success in this area will depend, at least in part, on fostering an environment where copyright incentives and protections are robust, and would like to suggest the following areas for community attention. First, strengthening incentives for private sector organizations like the ACS to continue to make the significant investments that we do in supporting the peer review process, which I think most of you know is considered to be the essential quality control indicator in published science, and fostering the discovery, dissemination, and evaluation of trusted, high-quality science. Second, developing policies or enhancing policies that may already exist that offer incentives for private sector organizations to facilitate seamless online rights identification and licensing, especially microtransactions that can occur as an individual is interacting with a piece of content or a subset of that content on the web. Third, strengthening sanctions against digital piracy. Fourth, developing incentives for internet service providers to screen posted content for copyright infringing material. And fifth, avoiding policies that have the potential to undermine what we think, on the whole, is a well-balanced and well-functioning system. We note that in 2009, President Obama committed to creating conditions for promoting investment in science, technology, engineering, and research and development, and that he identified strong protection and enforcement of intellectual property rights as something that would help achieve these objectives and contribute to the promotion of innovation. We ask that the committee take note of this vision in its work ahead. I'd like to close with a few comments on the specific recommendations we've made and then take any questions that you may have. ACS believes that a system of vigorous scholarly communication is one of the fundamental criteria for fostering innovation in the digital age. We feel that this communication, in turn, requires strong peer review and trusted fora for disseminating, discovering, and evaluating research. But both of these things don't just happen simultaneously. We and other publishers like us invest millions of dollars every year to support our editors in conducting peer review. These costs include the highly skilled people required to manage the process at our end, purchasing, maintaining, and updating the technology required to run and streamline it, and keeping track of reviewers and articles. We also invest significant funds in things like converting accepted manuscripts, data, and artwork to XML, adding metadata and identifiers to articles, adding links to ensure interoperability, and creating the unique journal fora that researchers and funders alike use to make key personal and professional judgments about the importance of any given piece of research to its field. We support our journals with what is, in our case, an award-winning digital platform designed to optimize the discovery and dissemination of chemistry and related information. We continue to invest time, money, and people in things like hardware and software infrastructure, online tools for authors, editors, reviewers, and users, supporting the development of interoperable industry standards for citation and other purposes, and alerting services, podcasts, RSS feeds, and press communications that are all designed to get relevant science in front of researchers and the general public. We're able to do this because copyright gives us both the ability and the incentive to make these kinds of investments. I think we've all had the experience that we're on the web and we find an article or a photograph or whatever it might be that we find interesting and we'd like to use it in some way, but we don't because we're not exactly sure whether we can or it's too much trouble to find out what we would need to do. We think there's potentially a copyright policy opportunity here to create incentives for the private sector to develop user and producer-friendly ways of identifying at the point of use what uses are permitted with a piece of content on the web or where to go for permission. We think these kinds of systems could facilitate a more vigorous use of these materials, especially at the level of the individual, and that this could support greater creativity and innovation. We are aware that digital rights management systems that exist today can be used for this purpose, but we think that incentives could do more to speed experimentation and more creative offerings in this area. It almost, but not quite, hardly needs mentioning that over the past several years, organizations and individuals have been illegally acquiring copyrighted articles from the web and reselling them globally. The Association of American Publishers estimates that scholarly publishers face annual losses in the $80 to $100 million range as a result of this digital piracy. But digital piracy doesn't only harm publishers and scholarly societies like the ACS. It also harms legitimate customers because it artificially reduces the size of the market and places unnecessary pressure on honest participants to fund more than their fair share of the products and services that they use. We think that it also exerts a dampening effect on innovation because legitimate creators may limit or withhold a broader exposure of their creations because of the ability and the ease with which others can take what they've created and use it without fair compensation. It also diverts human and financial capital into enforcement and protection activities and away from innovation or the useful application of innovation. And we would welcome further copyright policy action from the committee to strengthen sanctions in this area. This point is also related to our suggestion about investigating incentives for internet service providers to screen content posted on their websites for copyright infringing materials. Currently, any incentives that exist for doing this are not terribly effective if we take as their goal the discouragement of piracy, and many reputable platforms often unknowingly act to facilitate trafficking of unlicensed materials. ACS is sensitive to the challenges that are faced by internet service providers in such screening activity, but we believe that improvement in this area can and should be made, and that it should be facilitated by appropriate copyright policy. Finally, we think that good copyright policy can be as much defined by what it doesn't do as by what it does. We note that the proposal for the creation of this committee cited exceptions and limitations to copyright as well as public access mandates as salient issues in copyright policy. Although we think that the areas I've suggested here today represent the most productive path forward, we recognize that in the case of exceptions and limitations, for example, over time they will be considered. It's our view that any possible future exception and limitation to copyright as it relates to scholarly publishing has to be carefully developed in the context of the Byrne three-step test, which requires that any exception must be confined to a certain special case that does not interfere with the normal exploitation of the work and does not unreasonably prejudice the legitimate interests of the rights holder. Like other scholarly publishers, we prepare and distribute our materials for the research and education community. This community is our most significant market, and we believe that the public interest is best served by continuing to encourage, through copyright policy, the creation of new information products and services for it. We do believe that certain exceptions and limitations are appropriate in the digital environment, and we call the committee's attention to the paper entitled Digital Copyright Exceptions and Limitations for Scholarly Publication in the Education and Research Communities, which is available on the website of the International Association of Scientific, Technical, and Medical Publishers. And the URL is in the handout that you either have or that Daniel will be getting to you following this meeting. If the committee should elect to address public access mandates, we call its attention to two documents that have either been produced by or on behalf of the Association of American Publishers. First is a legal opinion from John Baumgarten of the D.C.-based law firm Proskauer Rose on the NIH public access policy. And the second is a letter from Alan Adler, the AAP Vice President for Legal and Government Affairs, to John Conyers, who's the chair of the House Committee on the Judiciary. Mr. Adler's letter summarizes and responds to comments received regarding Mr. Baumgarten's opinion. We think the committee will find both documents interesting and useful in any review it undertakes of this issue. Thank you for your attention, and I'd be glad to take any questions you may have.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your presentation. I'm wondering, in reference to the three-step test that you mentioned, what the ACS, or if the ACS has any views on the Max Planck proposal for how to rework the three-step test, which is clearly much more expansive than what I think you were proposing.
We haven't seen that, so we haven't formulated a view on that. So our comments apply to the three-step test as it exists today.
Okay.
Other questions?
So what I don't quite understand is the relationship between your organization and the authors of the studies. I mean, your predominant market is...
authors of research papers?
Right. So These are typically university researchers who are funded by government and
well, private. Their research is funded by the yes, the research
right. Yeah, exactly.
Itself, not necessarily the creation of the article.
So, is there? I mean, it's not my understanding that those authors are compensated for the revenue that comes in for the publications doesn't reach those authors.
That is correct. However, the authors use the publications that they have, the journals in which those articles are published, are used by funders to evaluate whether those authors, whether those researchers, they are a critical component in evaluating whether researcher X gets the NIH grant, gets the NSF grant, gets the fill-in-the-blank grant. Because there's an enormous amount of research, I think, you know, you've all seen the numbers about how much it is, and funders can't read every piece of research to determine. So they use the journals, the pecking order that exists in journals, to determine who is doing important and useful work, who should get the research grants, as do promotion and tenure committees, as do their peers to determine who is doing the best work in their field. So while we don't directly compensate them, it would be incorrect to say that they are not compensated in important ways by publishing in our journals.
I understand, but our earlier witnesses were referring to how creators of music and recording artists and songwriters are directly compensated. And so essentially the ecosystem you're describing is one in which the main value of the copyright system being enforced is in supporting a peer review model that supports science and the whole promotion system.
I would say that's one of them.
Okay.
I would not say it's the only one.
Okay, but it sounds like the primary one.
Well, okay. That's your opinion and you're entitled to it.
Okay, no, I'm just trying to understand exactly where you're coming from. Thank you.
Yeah.
Chris, did you want to add a question?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.